As sea ice melts and global oceans warm, sea levels are rising, presenting grave threats to small, low-lying island nations and to coastal areas here in the U.S. One example is in the Gulf of Maine. The ocean waters that stretch from Massachusetts to Nova Scotia are one of the fastest warming bodies of salt water on Earth. Here in Portland, the Gulf of Maine sea levels are expected to rise between 10 and 17 inches by the year 2030, compared to levels in 2000. NewsHour Weekend's Christopher Booker explored what that means for this coastal city of Portland and new efforts to study and adapt to the changing climate. This story is part of our ongoing series, Peril and Promise, The Challenge of Climate Change.
It's difficult to balance the contradiction that is this Friday afternoon in Portland, Maine. November, 48 degrees, light wind, and barely a cloud in the sky. But despite a November day that is as good as they come, the old port is flooding. In the past, Portland might see a king tide breach its streets only a handful of times. Part of the natural tidal cycle, these extra high tides coming during full or new moons, when the moon is closest to the Earth in its elliptical orbit. But as the world warms and sea levels continue to rise, water will be coming to Portland streets with far greater regularity. Models indicate that within the near future, high tides will breach this city's streets as many as 100 times a year.
And this is like an 11 and a half foot tide. We're going to see much, much more than that in the very near future, and it's going to be happening much more frequently. If that
storm lasts. Gail Bonus is the manager of the Municipal Climate Action Program with Portland's Gulf of Maine Research Institute. On this day, she helped lead a procession of local residents from the Institute for a quick glimpse of the city's future. The journey was simple enough. Walk a few blocks, turn onto one of Portland's many piers, and there, on the street, is the result of the day's king tide.
So in Portland, we've seen our tidal levels raise 8 inches over the past 100 years. So it's a pretty gradual raise. That rate of rise is about to steeply increase due to climate change. We'll see what we saw today happen more frequently in 2030. So it might happen every month as opposed to just the fall and the spring season. Everything's coming up, not just our peak high water seasons. We're going to see events like this happening about 100 times a year instead of 10.
Getting people to think about climate change in their own communities can be really difficult because climate change can feel like, you know, a distant or far removed issue, whether in space or in time.
David Reed Miller is the director of the Climate Center with the Institute, encouraging those in attendance to take photos and post to social media, as well as an online database tracking sea level rise. Reed Miller says the hope is after witnessing the flooding firsthand, residents will begin to drive the conversation.
When people can see how this is actually manifesting in their day-to-day life, they can then go to city council hearings. They can then start writing letters to their senators. They can start calling their representatives. It's really important that people get engaged in it and understand how it affects them, because once you have an understanding of how it's going to affect you, you're going to be compelled to act.
It is striking when you think about the distant projections of Arctic ice melts, sea level rise in places like the Maldives, versus walking down your street and seeing a noontime king tide flood.
Yeah, you know, what happens in one place in the world really echoes across the globe. And the experience that the Maldivians are going to have, that the Fijians, the Samoans, all these places are really dealing with similar issues that we have, you know. We're fortunate in one sense, though, that we live in America. We have the resources to deal with a lot of these issues. You know, a lot of these developing countries don't have that ability.
Before joining the Institute, Reed Miller worked as a top science advisor for the Obama administration, playing an integral role in the negotiating of the 2016 Paris Climate Accords. Next, he served in the Trump administration, leading the fourth National Climate Assessment, a congressionally mandated report that's an authoritative assessment of climate science and the impacts on the U.S. Then he came to the Gulf of Maine Research Institute to lead the Climate Center and help study how rising and warmer waters will change the Gulf's ecosystem, economy, and consequently, its culture.
What is the Gulf of Maine telling us about climate change?
There's a lot of things happening right in our own backyard. And we've got a living laboratory right here. And so one of the biggest things that's happening is that the Gulf of Maine is warming faster than probably about 95% of the world's oceans. Arguably the biggest and most climate-driven piece of this is that the Gulf Stream is changing. The Gulf Stream, you can think about it as a garden hose, right? That's really right now kind of at full blast and bringing a whole bunch of heat from the tropics up to the North Atlantic. But as climate change unfolds, that Gulf Stream, you're kind of twisting the dial on that hose from a jet into a shower. And so what happens then is you have some spillover of that heat and that warm water into the Gulf of Maine.
What does this portend for the immediate future?
You know, we're seeing a lot of species shifts underway. You know, this whole waterfront, this whole coastal community, so much of it is driven by what we can commercially harvest and grow with sustainable aquaculture in these waters. And we need to be prepared for and understand what changes are underway in the ecosystem out there.
And these changes are happening, not in 30 or 50 years, but right now. And Reed Miller says it's crucially important that all of Portland understands this.
And so we need to engage directly, not only with the municipal leaders, but the residents, the fishermen, the local business leaders, and present them with, frankly, information that they may not want to hear. We don't do science for science's sake, right? We do user-driven science. We know what the cause is. We know what the solutions are. And now it's just a matter of mustering the political will to actually make it happen.